Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Welcome.
We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. I forgot to say that.
Yeah, it threw me. I was like, there I am. I'm Christy Matthews.
There you are. You're Christy Matthews. Hi, Christy.
Hi. We do want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. That's what we want.
Yes.
That's why we're doing this.
It is the whole purpose,
the whole point
of this.
And today we're going to talk about guest lists.
So you are going to learn something.
Yes, that's the valuable part. And the entertainment is up in the air, frankly.
It's to be determined. You let us know if you're entertained.
I was thinking about guest list when this was on our list as like, of course, we have to talk about this when we're doing podcasts. It's in line with everything else, vendors, budget, because it's a really big step in the planning process.
Yeah.
For those of you that are first-time listeners, long-time listeners, first-time callers, this is...
Love you, show.
We're both wedding planners, and we've been wedding planners for a long time. Michelle's been a wedding planner longer than I have, and we're both entrepreneurs and have our own businesses, and we're wives and moms and blah, 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 everything else.
But mostly we are us.
Yes. Just
I am me.
Just a woman trying to figure it all out.
That's right. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
But we have both planned our own weddings in addition, mm-hmm. of course, to planning many other weddings for clients. And so when I was thinking about tips for people who are engaged right now about planning their weddings, I couldn't help but think about my own wedding. And mm-hmm. One of my truly biggest regrets about my wedding was who we invited, or rather who we didn't invite, because of the way it all went down. And I was pregnant, and it was like, we have so little time and so little money, and we thought it was going to be one thing and it turned out being something else. And at the end of the day, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful wedding, which surprised even me, I think. But it'll be 7 years this September.
Holy smokes.
And I still think about the people that I didn't invite because we didn't think it, we thought it was going to be like 40 people, like our families, basically, because we had like 2 months to say, come out to California. We're pregnant. We're going to do this. There's so little time. But I really, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, because when you're thinking about your guest list, you think about the friends you have and the family and, you know, all the people that you see every day. And if you invite one person from work, don't you have to invite all the people from work? And if you invite Right. one person from your husband's softball team, don't you have to invite the whole team? And it gets very snowball, and it can be overwhelming. And I totally relate to that personally, not even as a wedding planner, but as a bride, because that was one of the hardest parts for us. And we just had to do what we thought was right. And 7 years later, I definitely think we made some wrong decisions.
Such as?
Well, just friends of mine that I'm really good friends with. And our friendships have lasted, you know, much past the wedding. That I didn't invite at the time of, not that I wasn't friends with them, but they just, we didn't have much money. And we were looking at like just our families alone. If they all say yes, that already puts us at this many people. And then, you know, my husband's like, I have to invite my boss. And there wasn't anybody that was there that I wish hadn't been there. Like, oh, we shouldn't have invited that person. But where I think we went wrong is that we should have made room or just put it on a credit card. The people that I feel like even now to this day, I regret not inviting them because they're so special to me now and they weren't there, you know? And honestly, you're one of those people. And so is like my friend, a friend of mine from college that still lives in San Francisco. But it bothers me that we made a decision based on money when now 7 years later that seems trivial and the relationships are still there and enduring and seem so much more important. So it's not a lot of people. I would say it's like 6 to 10 people, but I don't know if I've ever told you.
How much per head? You never told me that, and I appreciate.
Well, because it's awkward, but it is a big deal, and I know that people, if you're listening and you're planning your wedding, no matter how big it is, there's going to be a cutoff point, and there might be some regrets after the fact. So I think today, how we're going to break this down will help sort out who really should be on that list, and that's like with the techniques that you know we've kind of come up with, but. It's one of the few things, like one of the few decisions that we made along the way, which was a very sort of rocky planning process for us. It was one of the few decisions I think we misstepped. And how much
like
per head?
Go back.
Yeah. How much per head is probably $60, $70 all in. I mean, it was, And I don't even know if we were thinking about it in terms of like, oh, we can't afford that. It just felt like, oh, this can't be a big wedding. It's a shotgun wedding. It's last minute. We were almost apologetic about it. And now I think like, you know what? Those people that I wanted to invite that I didn't, that I wish I had, would have been wonderful additions to the group that we had there and supported us as a married couple and still support us. So I really, thinking about like my wedding, that's one of my few, glaring regrets about it. So
yeah,
something to keep in mind. If only I had had this podcast to listen to.
I know. I would have advised you to invite me. No. And I totally, when you were planning the wedding, and I do remember this distinctly, that it was a very like, holy shit, I'm pregnant. We really do need to be married because we love each other and we're going to do this anyway. But now,
it's rushed.
We've got a baby coming, and that's scary as hell. So, no, we're not going to spend, you know, I think that if you guys would have gone the more traditional route and he would have proposed, like, you know, like your dreams, you know, it would have been different. You probably would have had this big wedding, and you probably would have spent a lot of money on it, and it would have you having been a wedding planner back then, it would have been like, boom, sky's the limit, right?
But yeah, and I probably would have had different regrets.
Everybody has their circumstances. You would have had different regrets because you put it probably would have been what we were talking about on a couple episodes ago, invited way too many people, spent way too much money on things that you really didn't matter.
Once the snowball got going.
Right. But it is what it is. We cannot go back. The past does not exist. That's the yoga teacher coming out of
me. Wow, look at that. See, I said we wore a lot of hats. Michelle's a yoga teacher and philosopher.
Just be present. No. So yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I saw the photos and I was so stoked. I'm like, that was a fun wedding. That was an awesome wedding. And you were having a lot of fun dancing with that little bum. And
I guess it's like the over reaching piece of advice I would give as both a wedding planner and a bride, and we'll go into ways that you can talk about or you can write out your list, but I tell my clients the best reason to go over budget is guests. The worst yeah. reason to go over budget is shit that doesn't matter, like yep. luxury, you know, napkins or, you know, a ridiculous caviar spread. I mean, the best reason to say at the end of the day, ah, shit, we spent $3,000 more than we wanted to, but those people came. They said yes. They RSVP'd yes, or we decided to invite them, and how wonderful that we have them in our memory of our wedding now. So I think that's kind of the biggest factor when talking to yeah. people about, like, don't freak out about if you really are up in the air about who to invite. I guess from my experience, if you keep going back and forth, I would err on the side of inviting them. And that's because yeah. I have regrets myself. Of course, you know, every circumstance is different, but.
Well, now you just have to have on one of your big anniversaries, you're going to have a whole nother wedding.
I talk about that a lot to Lance, and he's like, you're a crazy person. It has to be like our 30th anniversary. And I'm like, no way. I'm thinking 10, baby. I want to wear a cocktail yeah. dress and drink. And I want the wedding, you know, that.
Yeah, because you didn't get to drink at your wedding.
No, I didn't.
And I wouldn't have been able to drink either because I was pregnant. So we definitely need to do that again.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So what are the ways to curate this list?
Well, let's just dive in, shall we? Well, I think this is what I recommend. First of all, typically, depending on if the guests are mostly local, living in the area or the state where you're getting married, your drop-off rate is probably going to be about 25%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consider the demographic of your guest.
Consider the demographic, yes. You know, 15, most likely up to 25% will be a no.
Right.
They're not going to come. And so I feel it is best to create two lists.
You are of the A, B
I'm
theory.
Of the A-B list.
Yeah.
Yes.
School of thought.
That school of thought. So one night, you get together with your future spouse, mm-hmm. have a drink or a tea or whatever it is, or nothing, whatever, but get in a comfortable couch and you know, have a nice clear mind and say, okay, here's your piece of paper, here's mine, or here's your laptop, here's mine. Create your A-list, and your A-list is the most important people, the absolutely positively, that without a doubt, I am inviting these people.
So when you are doing this, you would say don't have a cap for a number at this point. At this point, it's just like brainstorming who has to be there. Put it on your A-list.
Yeah. Don't worry about the cap. Just go. Just do it. And that's obviously your immediate family, you know, the people that. You're going to invite mm-hmm. them.
The family, friends you went to the lake with for 15 years straight as a kid. And
yes, your mother.
The must-haves.
The must-haves and your most dearest, closest friends who are not family but really are more like they would be the family that you would have chosen mm-hmm. and then the family that you're born into that you do not choose. That's your A-list, right? You each have your own, you know, you each create your own list. Don't be sharing it until after.
Got it.
Right. And a lot of them will overlap.
Right.
Most likely. And then you also write down a B list. So like, I would like to invite these people, but it's not going to make me feel really terrible if I don't. Like, I'm not, it's perfectly acceptable that, you know, my, you know, that guy that I worked with at that job 6 years ago, who we were tight back then. We were tight. And, you know, we keep in touch every now and then. And yes, he knows that I'm engaged. But he doesn't exactly expect an invitation. And I would love to invite him, but it's not
a deal breaker.
It's not. A deal breaker. Yes, thank you. Not a deal
Got
breaker.
It.
Yeah, that's That's what I think the first step should be. So you may or may not have a venue at this point. And it's quite possible that you don't. And this is going to help you in choosing your venue. And this is going to help you in creating your budget.
Right.
Also, this part of it. And so you each create that list. And then you share it. You share it.
Share it. Put it all into a master list.
Put it all into a master list. One column is me, my list. And one column is my fiance's list.
Right. Cross off the duplicates. And now look at what your A list is and what your combined B list is.
Yep.
And then say, like, I hate that bitch. No way are we inviting her. I can't believe you put her on your B list.
I can't believe she's on your list.
So you cross some of those off.
So you cross some of those off.
You know she flirts with you at the Christmas party. I can't even believe you think she's going to be. No. The answer is no.
What's that all about?
cross her off.
No. Wait, your ex-girlfriend?
I don't think so.
You
but she's married. Like she's totally married. I don't care.
I don't care.
Get her off the list.
Yeah, so you hash that out. And that might take a couple days.
Coming to, finally, a concise A and B list between you and your fiancé.
Exactly.
And then the next step is introducing the other, the potential wrench in your plans when you tell your parents to create their list.
Yeah. So then there is this question of, do we allow our parents to create a list?
Just like give them carte blanche or.
Yeah. Yeah. And I say, and again, a lot of this is dependent on whether or not you've chosen your venue and there are only a certain amount of people that you can invite, right? But let's say that the parents are contributing to the wedding financially.
Right.
Therein lies a little bit of a, well, we kind of have to let them invite who they want to invite. Maybe not who they want to invite, but you make them do the same thing, right? Okay, mom, listen, you create an A list and you create a B list and then we'll go over it. Same thing. You should be able to do the same thing with your parents.
Right, because there should be some proportion. You know, this is your wedding. So if you're only inviting 100 people and you guys have 70 on your list, 30 for both parents seems appropriate.
But because you got two sets of parents.
Yeah, it wouldn't maybe seem appropriate if you have 70 on your list and both sets of parents come back and they also have 70 together. Yeah. Because it's your wedding. So I think, you know, there's always a generational thing at weddings. It's like everybody that's in their 30s, just like the couple. And then everybody that's in their 60s, like the couple's parents. That makes sense. But I don't know that it should be 50-50 down the line. It seems like it should kind of skew on the side of the actual couple getting married.
Yeah. And you know, and this is a really hard subject for certain cultures. Because in certain cultures, you know, it's very important that the parents invite a lot of people. I mean, I've done a Hindu wedding, an Indian wedding, where the bride and groom really didn't have any say in who was invited. But that culturally, with their family, was the norm. That was expected, and they were okay with it. Most of my clients are paying for their own wedding. Some of them, their parents are paying. Some of them, their parents are contributing a little bit. So typically, I would say the majority of Americans, you know, the couple of themselves are paying for the wedding. And that's what we're mostly talking about here. So
paying for most of the wedding.
Are paying for most of the wedding. And the other thing is, you know, your mom might say, well, are you inviting, my sister, Aunt Betty? Well, of course I am. You know, like who, you know. They can overlap and you can say, okay, go ahead, put who you think it might depend on your relationship with your family, right? So you can say, Ma, sure, go ahead and put, you know, whoever you think in the family on your A list, and then B list could be your work friends or
your
neighbors
friends.
We grew up with, church friends, like whatever.
There's no hard and fast rules. I mean, it is gonna be per couple. What the point of this is that however many counterparts there are in the planning process, the committee, if it's just you and your fiance and you can invite whoever you want, you're still going to need a way to organize. These are our must-haves and this is our B list. And if your parents are involved too, then they're going to have the same thing. For us, because we were keeping it so small, and my mother-in-law has six siblings. And at the time of our wedding, I hadn't met any of them. And that's fine. And that makes sense, I think. We'd been together for about 2 years, but they're not all necessarily close. But my husband, my future husband, hadn't even seen any of his aunts or uncles in over a decade. And she did come to us and say, well, Christy's mom's inviting all her siblings.
Well, how many are all?
My mom has three. So four total versus seven total. And my mother-in-law said, well, I want to invite all my siblings. That's important to us. And my husband was like, Mom, I'm not close to any of them except for one. And I do want her to be there. So let's send out announcements, sort of. I mean, you know, it was more of a like, Lance is getting married, but not so much of a come to the wedding. Because it would have been awkward. You know, we're only having 70 people. For 10 of those people to be aunts and uncles that Lance, you know, my husband himself hasn't even seen in over a decade or kept in touch with. It's just that made sense. And I know my mother-in-law's feelings were hurt. But, you know, it came down to like, there's people Christy wants to invite that she's not going to invite. I'm not inviting any of my work friends. We can't go there. So
you can't make everybody happy.
Right.
You cannot.
And we learned that really quickly, you know.
You learn that quickly. But when you're in the moment and you're planning your wedding, and again, it's such an emotional time, you feel as if the weight of the world is on your shoulders because you want to please your future mother-in-law. And you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But when it comes down to it, you don't want to regret this, right? You don't. She's over it. I'm sure she's not still talking to you about and angry with you 7 years later.
Right.
You know, that everybody wasn't invited.
And
I'm sure she had a great time.
My husband
loved it.
Still has not seen those aunts or uncles in
there
the past 7 years that we've been
there
married. So that's kind of how it all sifts out.
Yeah. My dad has 8 brothers and sisters. I have cousins all over the world and step aunts and uncles. I don't even know all of my family. So there's no way in hell I was going to invite all these
just
people.
Be like,
I couldn't.
All of my family, that equals 250.
Yeah.
What about you, husband?
Yeah.
Who do you want to invite?
It's a Mexican family with 9 siblings. There are many children.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing to consider. We should have talked about that too, is kids, and if kids are on the list and if that brings your numbers to a point that you don't want them, this can be very sticky. We should do it. We will. We'll do a whole other episode about children involvement.
Kids,
and
yes. And that is just purely on taste. But yes, let's stay on track.
Okay.
All right. So we've got our A list and our B list. We may or may not invite our parents to create their A list and B list.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to judge each other for the names we have on our A list and B list, and be nice to one another, and respectfully request that some of those names be
removed,
added to the B list, perhaps, and removed from the A list.
Yes.
Okay. It's just business. Okay. All right. So then, where are we at? So now we've cleaned up the list, the A list, right?
Yes, and we have it down to a manageable number.
Yeah.
But since we don't have our venue yet, we're not sure if that's going to have some restrictions.
Right. So then, you know, however, now you've got an idea. Maybe we have 150 people on our A-list combined. We've shaved ours down. We've gotten mom and dad's. We've shaved theirs down. All right, here we go. We've got about 150 people. So now we have to figure out our budget. Listen to that episode on budget.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now we start looking for our venue. And what if we fall in love with a venue that will only fit 100 people?
Right, which is actually really common in Northern California and almost unheard of here in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Because everything's bigger here.
Bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so you find a winery that says we can only have 100 people max. There's absolutely no way we can go over 100. And you look at your list.
You're like, meh.
You have to take off 50 people. That's
how do you do
that's
that?
A lot. So either you don't book that venue or you prepare for major compromising.
Yeah. Major.
Between the two of you and just for yourself, knowing that, you know, that.
So do us a favor. Do not send any save the dates until you've got all this figured out.
Budget, venue, guest list. Those three things need to be sorted before save the dates go out.
Absolutely.
Save the dates are kind of a variable because they're, you have to do them in some way, even if it's just an email or a mass text. You have to tell people, this is the day we decided. But and knowing if you tell a person save the date, you are sending them an invitation.
Yeah.
That's just what's going to happen. But then you have to assume like, okay, well, these wedding planners on a podcast told me 15 to 20% are going to say no. And then that's a variable. I mean, what if everybody says yes? I have had one wedding where every single RSVP came back.
No way.
And it was a New Year's Eve wedding and it was a gay wedding. And I told them that this was likely because people so wanted to celebrate them. They'd been together for 27 years and if I got an invitation for that and I had other plans, I would change my other plans in order to go to their wedding.
I would totally go to a wedding on New Year's
Plus
Eve. That's way fun.
New Year's Eve. Nobody ever has anything fun to do, but we all want something fun to do. And then we end up in our pajamas, like eating popcorn on the couch, trying to stay awake for some dumb ball to drop. And here's a party on
for
somebody
free.
Else's budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to wear a fabulous dress and you get an open bar. I mean, it's of course you're going to say yes. So they had everybody RSVP yes. And they called and were like, oh, my God, we need to call the caterer because we didn't count on this. And I told them the same thing I said at the beginning of this podcast. What a great reason to go over budget that every person you invited wanted to come. So although it is unlikely, keep in mind that if you send out 180 invitations, that's a science experiment. I mean, you might get 180 yeses. And then you have a venue that only fits 150 and everything's, you know, thrown. So those save the dates are an important part of the process, but you're kind of like throwing it all out there and you don't know what's going to come back.
So let's say your A-list has 100 people on it. Your venue can fit up to 150 max. Then, throw some people from the B-list on. But let me tell you something. I recommend not maxing out your venue, personally, especially depending on the venue. Because they might, a lot of times it'll max out at 150 without a dance floor, or you have to remove some tables to create a dance floor, which I've done many times, but it's not ideal.
Right. Or they say no band. We can fit a DJ, but we can't fit a band.
Not a band because, we can't get a stage and you can't have that many people.
Or
so,
now you have to have cocktail hour outside instead of inside. There's a lot of questions to ask. When they say 150 max, ask exactly what that means. Ask to see some floor plans.
Floor plans.
Yeah.
And also, if you're planning on having the ceremony outside and then your plan B is to move the ceremony inside to where the dinner's going to be, then you've got to think about changeover time.
That's something to talk about with the venue manager when they say 150 max, because they're going to have different ways that they measure that.
Yeah.
And
because if they're providing the catering, they're going to make the most money off of the most heads, right?
Right. And it might be that it might feel nice or feel like you have kind of a buffer if you keep, I don't know, a whole table. So like 12, keep it 12 under whatever the max is, just so that there's a little more room to move around. And then if anything does happen that last month before the wedding where, you know, your mom's best friend says, "Mom, guess what? My son is back from his semester in China and he can come to the wedding now," you know, you at least have a little bit of a buffer knowing that you saved some room.
Or if you have a family like mine who doesn't believe in guest lists, because a lot of Latino families don't, and they end up bringing people or inviting your cousin who lives in another country that you last saw when you were 2 years old.
Right. You won't mind.
Leave an open table. No, we're family.
You haven't
it's
seen
family.
Her in forever. Yeah. So,
it's blood.
Yeah. I've actually done a couple weddings where they had a whole extra table for guests they weren't expecting, sort of set off to the side, like, okay, we didn't know it was going to be you, but we knew it was going to be someone. So yep. Have some chicken and join us for YMCA because we're happy you're here. You know, just with anything else with planning, our advice is always to stay relaxed and like keep your cool about it. I mean, this part is a little crunchy and it's at the beginning of your process. So it can feel like a lot, but everything else seems kind of easy after guest list, I feel like.
And then there's always the questions about vendors. There's certain vendors that we invite to stay for dinner, like our efficient
right.
or, you know, the photographer. Gosh, we've gotten along so well with them. They're a husband and wife, and we would love them to sit at a guest table. Mm. You know, there's always questions like that. Or
which is another reason for keeping some buffer in there.
Keeping some openings. Yeah.
For the record, I definitely have like fathers or pastors or officiants that do the prayer and sit at the table and are a mm-hmm. guest after the ceremony. But every vendor, even if it is that case, they're a husband and wife, we love them so much, totally has happened before. If it's a big wedding, I'd say more than 100 people, I always say a vendor meal, they'll eat with me and the rest of the vendors and, you know, it's in a different room.
They prefer it.
Yes, because then it's just in this room and we eat it kind of when we can. But it's less awkward. So
yeah, and they have a minute to eat
yeah.
or 10 minutes and they really want to put their feet up and not talk to anybody.
And we just especially stuff our faces in there. You shouldn't even, yeah. No guest should see what happens in a vendor room.
No.
There's like no talking. We all eat so fast and we clear our plates. And yeah, so
we're starving.
No, I've sat at a guest table. I've sat at the table with the bride and the groom once, but it was a 30-person
really?
Wedding. Yeah, so it was very intimate. And the father of the bride was like, sit here. So, you know, I think if it's a traditional wedding with a pretty large guest count, the only person that's not a guest that would be eating with guests would be the officiant. And certainly if it's a religious ceremony. Seems to go that way, route.
So would you say, can you invite new people after you get some no RSVPs back?
Yeah, I wonder. I think a lot of people do that with their B list. It feels a little bit awkward if you get that invitation 5 weeks before the wedding instead of 10. Mm-hmm. I've gotten an invitation before that seemed pretty late. I was like, we were on the B list. They invited us because somebody else couldn't come. But we still went and had a great time. So it just, maybe that's just me being in the wedding industry. But I think if you send out your invitations early enough and get some no's right away, I think you can go to that B list and send those out quickly.
What time frame do you recommend that your clients have the RSVP requested by?
2 weeks before the wedding.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are sending them out a lot earlier now than they did 7 years ago, even when I was doing it in San Francisco. We always said send it out 8 weeks. I would say invitations for weddings go out closer to 10 to 12 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So asking for them back a little bit earlier is helpful.
Yeah.
And I always tell my clients, enlist the help of your moms when it comes to getting RSVPs back.
Yeah.
You know, if Aunt Sally has not sent anything and you have no idea if she's coming or not, just tell your mom, can you call Aunt Sally? Is she coming or not? Because if she's not, I want to invite, you know, this person from my office.
Yeah.
So the quicker you can get back answers, the more time you have to invite people from the B list. What do you think about that, the B list being kind of your backup?
I think it's okay depending on when you ask for your RSVPs back. I personally like to send out invitations about 3 months ahead of time.
So closer to 12 weeks.
And I've had clients ask for them to be back a month before just for that reason. If they really do want to invite other people. I mean, 2 weeks is when you start calling people and are like, dude, are you coming?
Right.
Some people will request them back with that 2 week cutoff. I think it also depends on the number of guests you're inviting and you individually, if you have a big B list and if they're coming from out of the country, you're going to want to send those invitations about 3 months out or out of state. But I personally, you know, especially when I'm receiving RSVPs for clients, when, you know, I've done that before, 3 to 4 weeks out is when I ask for an RSVP by date.
And then you start making those calls to get RSVPs back at 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So destination weddings, Michelle mentioned, if you're inviting guests that are from out of the country, you need to send out those invitations earlier. They have to make more accommodations and travel plans. Same goes for destination weddings, which kind of have a different rules for all the stuff with guest list, because less people will say yes to a destination wedding, less people that you invite. The guest counts overall are generally smaller. And I think you have to plan on doing everything earlier.
Unless you're getting married in San Francisco, most people will want to come to San Francisco.
Yeah, people want to come. But if it's Labor Day weekend and you only sent out your save the dates 7 months ahead of time, and flights to San Francisco are $500, you know, people, for destination weddings, it's more than just a wedding. It's a whole vacation. It's an experience. We're all going to Mexico. So you need to plan on giving your guests a little more. It's not just come to our wedding. Usually you're invited to the rehearsal dinner, too, if it's a destination wedding. And we're all hanging out. And then there's going to be golf for the people who want to golf. And there's, you know, this kind of, I don't know, sailboat thing we have planned. It's excursions and brunches and other get-togethers. But it's also asking people to take 4 days of the 10 paid vacation days they get in a year to come to Mexico for your wedding. So it's just a courtesy to ask to invite people earlier and make all of the arrangements on the earlier side, so people can figure out their year schedule. You know, I already have some plans for 2017. Like, I know what my husband and I have committed to and what we want to do. So if we got a wedding invitation right now for a wedding in Spain, you know, we would be like, we can't do that. We already have our Disney cruise planned, you know, and that's not even the same month, but it's just a financial thing. So destination weddings are their own. Yeah, that's a whole nother ball game. And just keep in mind that it needs to be earlier. You're asking a lot of people.
Yes. Plus ones. I've been asked many times.
Ugh.
Do we have to invite a plus one?
You know what? This is, yes. I feel like this is something I hang my hat on almost. If my clients, my bride and groom or bride and bride or whoever, are 20 years old, and I do have clients that young, which is nutso. But if those clients, if they say, do we have to invite a plus one? I'm like, you know what? No. Your friends,
you don't have to do anything,
but your friends are still in college, for crying out loud. They don't need to bring some random chick just because they have a plus one on the invitation. Just invite your friend, because you're inviting a lot of that group. So they can all sit together. It's not like I'm going to a wedding and I don't know anybody and now I can't even invite my date. But generally, with the exception of very young brides and grooms, my advice is, you're a real adult now. You're planning a wedding. You have real jobs. You know, we're not in our early 20s anymore. Be an adult. And adults invite people to their weddings and let them bring a significant other. And we do not say, I don't know, they've only been dating for 3 months, so that's not that, I don't want that person to come. It's like, it's kind of, I'm of the school of thought, and I know that this is controversial, but I really feel like if you're inviting people to your wedding, you know, be a grown up and they can bring whoever they want. And you don't get to say, I don't feel like she's important enough to you. It's like, he's going to bring whoever he wants.
Yeah. And I think it goes with knowing your guests, right? Like you were saying, if it's a college kid, some dude who hooks up or whatever,
right,
and is going to bring some chick who's going to, like, you know, get totally wasted and
totally,
it's going to be a whole scene. You know your friend. You know John. You know how he is, you know. But
if you're inviting your whole soccer team on your co-ed league, they all know each other. So
they don't need to bring dates. Yeah.
Totally appropriate.
Yeah.
But
if you know somebody who is serious with somebody, they're not engaged, like I said, you don't have to do anything, but you know, you do need to consider your guests when you're planning your wedding. There are certain points where you do need to consider your guests, and this is one area, definitely one area. And, you know, their comfort is another. I mean, that's a whole another subject. But do consider them in this, you know, yes, this is all about you, but you're inviting them for a reason and they appreciate you and you appreciate them. So, you know, be considerate.
Right. And expect to have adult conversations about it if you do make the decision not to invite a person plus one. So just because you put John Smith on the invitation doesn't mean John Smith is not going to call you and be like, hey, can I bring my girlfriend? And you're like, I just put your name. And according to Martha Stewart Weddings, if I just put your name on the invitation, then you should know that I'm only inviting you. And this feels really awkward. I didn't want to have a confrontation. If you're going to go down that route, expect people to call you and be like, what about, you know, and just be ready to be like, you know what? I don't want you to bring anyone. You're going to sit at a table with all your fraternity brothers. Everyone's going to be happy. But, you know, we're having a small wedding and. Or whatever.
And what
you don't
are the
have
excuses?
To explain yourself.
Or if you do, unfortunately, John Smith does not fit that many people. Or unfortunately, we're on a very tight budget, but we really would love you to be there.
And we'll make sure you sit with friends. It's going to be fine. Can you leave
We'd love you to be there.
Your new girlfriend at home for one night? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, of course, our answer is you don't have to do anything. You don't have to adhere to any rules. But my more like deep down answer is generally I think you need to invite people's plus ones and just assume that they'll bring them.
I've had a couple of younger couples who have gotten married and were on a budget and invited people after dinner. Have you had that?
No.
I have.
So come to the party. Party.
Come
party.
To the party. Yep. Yep.
When the real fun starts, you can come.
When the real fun starts. And I have to say, nothing good has come out of that.
Yeah, that sounds... I've had people at the entire wedding that probably really only wanted to come to that part. You know, and sometimes I'll walk in and I'll look at, you know, what they're wearing or just the overall look and be like, whoa, she's ready to go. And I don't know if they even know the people getting married, but... Yeah, that's different. That's one way to slice it. I wouldn't think that would work.
I don't advise it. Yeah. It's happened. Nothing great has come out of it. But, you know, I think that goes back to those calls you get and then you feel really bad and you're like, hey, why don't you just invite her to come after dinner? Or why don't you guys just, you know, do you want to come after dinner? Like, my parents don't want to pay for that many people, but like, why don't you guys come after dinner? I don't advise it.
Yeah.
Just in case any of you out there were wondering.
Right,
that.
Thinking that might be a way to do it.
Yeah,
you're setting it up for a rowdy night by inviting people that you know are potentially going to get rowdy just at the end there. So, yeah.
And they're going to want cake.
Everybody wants cake.
Everybody wants
cake. It doesn't
matter
who you are. You want some cake.
And they're going to want alcohol. So keep it classy.
So when I have had questions, I've had brides and grooms call me when they're creating their list just to be like, just tell me who I need to invite. Like, who is appropriate? Because we're looking at our list and they are double what we need to have. We need to cull this list. And it's trite, I feel like, this advice, because I know almost every wedding planner gives it. But it makes sense. So it's that if you haven't had dinner with this couple or with this person, or you wouldn't have dinner in the last year, you shouldn't invite them. So if you're not comfortable inviting this person over to your house to eat dinner with your family or to eat dinner with the two of you, you shouldn't invite them to the wedding.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. So kind of if you're on the fence about, you know, coworkers or... You know, people that have been in your life for a long time, but you don't actually know more than on a surfacey level. Like, it would be weird to have them over for dinner. We only know them because of T-ball and, you know, because our nephews play. We don't really know them. Then don't invite them. Even if they're like, oh, my God, you're getting married. That's so exciting. You guys are so awesome. We love you so much. Like, you know. And an even more basic way to do that is, have you even seen this person in the last year? Will mm-hmm. you see them in the year following your wedding? And that was the case with my husband and all his aunts and uncles. He hadn't seen them in the last several years, and he wasn't thinking he was going to see them. So it was pretty easy for him to, you know, say to his mom, like, I'm sorry, they're important to you, but they're not really in my life. So
right.
that's another way to cut these lists up if need be.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what we got.
I think that's about covers it.
As always, we'll take questions and comments. Yes. And, you know, like when I opened this episode with a regret, send us your regrets. Email us. Like, I really wish I had done this differently with the guest list, and this is why. And then, you know, we can take that and air that comment on another podcast and also kind of dissect it and talk about what that might mean.
If you have any questions or comments or interesting stories, you can tweet us at
at
Chrissy
TBWP podcast. TBWP podcast. That's our Twitter handle.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.com. And please, if you have a moment to go to iTunes and subscribe, that would be really awesome. And rating us would be amazing. And tell your friends. And please do. Please, please, please let us know what you want to hear. And thank you so much for listening.
Yes. We look forward to hearing from all of you. And we'll keep putting them out there.
If you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
All right. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Love you. I will talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.